We're going to skip around a bit here. We're going to go to item 27, park entrance and camping fee proposal. Kevin.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Secretary Hepler, Kevin Roblin here, Deputy Secretary with Game Fish and Parks. If I can turn your attention to page 27, more importantly, the second page of page 27 there. We've had a rough year in the parks world. We've had some major flooding events occur. We also have been dealing with a lot of flood damage. Just in 2019 alone, revenues are down about $1.9 million from 2018. So there's a significant decrease in revenue, a significant decrease in visitation, and a lot of that has to do with the slow spring we had, or no spring at all, delayed weather. A lot of it has to do with just the flooding impacts to our parks. We had a bridge failure occur at Fort Randall, and that cut off access to 140 camp units, and we had to close that campground altogether. So a combination of things, weather-related, flood-related, that has reduced the amount of revenues coming into the Parks Division here, especially in the last year. All in all, we do have about $8.7 million worth of flood-related damages that we have quantified over the course of the 6 months. There's four major projects, one being that Fort Randall Bridge, one being the Mina Spillway or Mina Lake Dam, the other one Newell Lake, and the fourth one being Lake Elvin. Between those four spillways and bridges, we are dealing with about $6.8 million alone in trying to fix those things that have occurred here in the last 6 months or so. Also with that, we have an immediate need, obviously, to fix this Fort Randall Bridge. And because of that, we're going to have to defer about 16 projects, or even a little more than that, from our FY20 budget and set those aside and get to those at a later date, because the priority now is fixing this Fort Randall Bridge and getting access to that 140 campsites and the overall campground itself. Also, the FY21 budget looks to be highly impacted with deferred projects as well. And what we're creating here is a major logjam of projects. Deferred maintenance in particular, preventative maintenance, existing infrastructure will be impacted by the deferment of these projects and the funding of these projects, because other priorities are now taking their place. And these priorities are flood related, as I mentioned earlier. You know, we also have operational increases in labor, utilities, and fleet rates. There hasn't been a park fee increase for about 5 to 6 years, 5 years for the campground or campsites, and 6 years for the entrance licenses. And we're to a point right now that we have to take a hard look at some potential fee increases to make the parks system sustainable, you know, from here on moving forward. That's kind of the picture of the damages we incurred over the last course of the year. Visitation has been down, revenues have been down from previous years. You know, in the park system, we take in about 7.5 million visitors annually. It's a very high use area across the state. You know, it generates nearly $239 million in direct spending and supports 5,000 jobs. So the economic impact of our park system is significant. And right now, it is at jeopardy because of the flood damage that has incurred on a lot of these areas, not just the areas along the Missouri River this time. In 2011, the Missouri River campgrounds or camping areas were impacted the most. This year, we have impacts all the way across the board. I mean, the vast majority of the Northeast is dealing with flooding issues. The Southeast is dealing with flooding issues. Campgrounds along the Missouri River as well. So we have a bigger problem, actually, than we had in 2011. And with that, you know, we are looking to ask the commission to consider a fee package. That fee package can be found on page 27 in your books, getting into the details of that fee package. And again, these fees, there is a table on the last page of your books, right in front of that Parks tab. It's labeled 27 as well. And that table identifies the rate of change, or the different recommended rates that we'd like to see. For example, the park annual entrance license, we'd like to see that go from $30 to $36. If we look at a 3% inflation rate over those 6 years that that fee was in place, 2019, that inflation rate would put us at $35.82. And that's how that $6 was formulated. It's a 3% increase across those 6 years. We've not seen a fee increase. The second vehicle then would be a $3 increase for that. So we'd go from 36, and the second vehicle would be $18. And you can see the combo there would be going from 45, increasing that to $9 to 54. We would then look at the transferable license. This is a license you hang in your window. You can put it on your UTV, you can put it in your car. A lot of times it's referred to as like a handicap sticker that you can move from car to car to vehicle to vehicle. That there would be a $65, increasing that to $15. The daily park fee, again, this is probably the most heavily purchased fee, park entrance fee. We sell about 112,000 of those daily fees at $6 currently. We'd like to see that get increased to $8. That's a daily fee. And then the CSP motorcycle wristbands or motorcycle bands, sometimes they're referred to as, currently that is $10. That hasn't been changed since 2011. We'd like to see that increase to $20. That's proportionally the largest increase we see on this piece of paper regarding park entrance licenses. However, if you drive a vehicle into CSP Custer State Park right now, that vehicle costs, it doesn't matter if there's one person or three people in that vehicle, it costs that person $20 for a 7-day park entrance license in CSP. So what we're trying to do there is streamline that to include then motorcycles as well. Motorcycles, if they have one person or two, it would not matter. It would be $20 per vehicle. A motorcycle would then be considered a vehicle entering Custer State Park. The other portion of the camping fees, the second half of the spreadsheet there, refers directly to campgrounds and campsites. The amount of money we'd like to see increased per campsite based on different campgrounds. Now, in South Dakota, we categorize our camping areas into four essentially categories. We have the prime, we have the preferred, the modern, and the basic. The prime sites, the way they're categorized is 90% of the prime sites or prime campgrounds in South Dakota have to be occupied on the weekend. So if we have occupancy rates on Friday and Saturday night over the 5-month camping season, that occupancy rate's greater than 90%, they're considered prime campgrounds. The entire campground then is considered prime. They're not based on the sites, they're based on the campground. Preferred is 80%. So again, if 80% of those campsites in that campground on the weekends, Friday and Saturday night, are occupied, that is how it falls in that preferred category. Prime and preferred sites both have electricity at them 95% of the time. There's very seldom where there's no electricity at our prime and preferred campsites. When we get more of that modern and basic, electricity is not always there. And a $4 electricity rate is included in the rates on this sheet. So, for example, right now, if I go camping in a prime campground, I'm paying $21. That would include already the electrical fee. So if it did not have electricity, you'd be paying $17 instead of $21. So the rate of increase there we're asking for, or asking the commission to consider, is going from $21, increasing that $5 to $26. If we look at that 3% inflation rate and how we came to this $5 rate of increase, in 2021, we'd hit that $25.83. So we're really close. I mean, we could, essentially in 2020, that would be $25 at 3%. So this is going to be hit in 2021, would be that 3% through those time periods. In this case, 5 years instead of six. Moving down the list, we have preferred campgrounds going from $19 to $23. That's a $4 increase there. You can see the numbers of projected sales and the number of new revenue that we'd project based off these increases. Modern campgrounds would be, they're currently $17, moving that $3 up to $20. Getting into the equestrian side of things, we have essentially three different types of equestrian campgrounds. We have basic equestrian, and that does not include CSP. We have semi-modern equestrian, and then we also have the CSP equestrian as well. And looking at that, you can see the rates of increase there, going from $13 up to $18, going from $19 on those semi-modern equestrian campsites, going to 26. These campsites do have a corral for your horse. Sometimes they do provide shade. They do have electricity, at least the semi-modern, and a lot of times a comfort station. The basic equestrian would only have a vault toilet. A lot of times they also, though, would have a corral for the horse, those types of things. And the CSP equestrian, I'm going to skip over the CSP modern campgrounds for just a second because we're talking about equestrian campgrounds, was raised in 2018. In 2018, the CSP equestrian campground was $30 in 2014, was raised in 2018 to $35. We're asking for a $5 raise once again in 2019 to go to $40. And that would be taking care of those equestrian campsites. I'll be the first to admit that CSP equestrian campsite or campground is one of the best in the country. Shade for your horse, individual corrals, trails everywhere. It's quite a neat opportunity for folks to utilize. Moving down the list, while we're talking about Custer State Park, we do have a different rate in Custer State Park for our modern campgrounds. Right now in Custer State Park to, you know, have a tent site or an RV with electricity, we're talking $25. That fee hasn't been changed since 2014. We're looking for a $5 rate of increase there, making that a $30 a night rate. That would then generate, you know, over $175,000 or close to it. Moving down the list, I'm going to talk briefly about camping cabins. Camping cabins, they're very, very popular. And at the end of the day, we see occupancy rates of 100% on the weekends almost across the board in our prime campgrounds or areas that have camping cabins. So if we look then at CSP, you notice that CSP camping cabins were a $5 increase or difference between the camping cabins outside of CSP. In this case, we'd like to see those camping cabins in CSP go to $55. They're currently $50. And we'd also like to make that consistent with camping cabins outside of CSP. Right now, they're $45. We'd like to bump that to $55. And that's just consistency across the board. Again, demand for these camping cabins is very high. We're not concerned about occupancy of these camping cabins. A lot of times, they get filled 90 days out when those folks can make reservations for those camping cabins. The last thing on that list is firewood. Firewood hasn't been changed really since 2016. In 2014, it was $4.74 a bundle. 2016 went up to $5. We'd like to increase that $1 to $6. And right now, we're purchasing wood at a rate of a lot of times $4.50 a bundle. By the time our staff, you know, sell that firewood, it's a service we're providing. And we want to make sure we're not losing money on providing that service as firewood rates do continue to go up. So all in all, you can see here, this is one of the largest fee packages brought before the commission in quite some time. All in all, we're looking at about a $2.99 million fee package increase across the board that would likely impact about every user out there that recreates in our state park and rec areas. But the need is definite. We are dealing with a lot of projects and flood-related damages that were outlined earlier. The good news is, you know, looking across the board and across the state and across state boundaries or adjacent states, that's still a pretty good deal when it comes to prices in compared to Minnesota, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Wyoming, and other states as well. Comparatively speaking, we're right in the ballpark where those other states lie. Also, looking at the private industry and the federal camping and cabin rates within South Dakota, those rates that we're proposing are very similar to even lower than most of the rates that are being charged for those folks staying in federal campgrounds or private camping or cabin areas. So with that, I went through that fairly fast. There was a lot of information there. I would like to take any questions at this time. With me is Willie Cullingog. He is the regional supervisor up there in the Northeast, and you'd have questions for him as well. So with that, are there any questions?
Questions? Commissioner Olson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. If you were to, you know, most of these you said you haven't moved the needle since 2014. If you were to have done some type of an inflationary increase over the years, would that have caught us up to that, or would we still be behind? Or
so if we were to hit the current rates in 2014 and 2015, where they haven't been moved, 3%, these rates that you're seeing on this sheet, the proposed rate, that's about where they'd match with a 3% rate of increase. across those years. 6 years for the entrance licenses, 5 years for the camping rates. However, the camping rates won't hit that three-year inflation rate till 2021, but it's very close, yes.
Other question? Commissioner Boyd.
Thank you. Commissioner Boyd here. I got to get my thoughts together here. There's the issue of repairing, like, for example, Fort Randall Bridge. There's the cost of that, which to me justifies these rate increases, at least in part. What is the cost if we don't do anything with Fort Randall Bridge? What kind of revenue are we losing?
Yeah, so the return on investment with Fort Randall Bridge and with those 140 campsites we have there, we estimate between $280,000 to $300,000 of lost revenue just in that alone. That contributes to the $1.9 million of revenue that we're down. Again, I mean, we do have campgrounds across the state that had to close numerous sites, not just Fort Randall Bridge, but numerous campgrounds because of flooding-related issues. You know, once that electrical pillar gets flooded, I mean, we have to have electrician come in, fix those pillars that provide electricity, those sorts of things. Those are incurred costs as well. But yeah, about $280,000 to $300,000. If we were to get that bridge up and running, hopefully we'd recover some of that lost revenue.
Other questions, comments? Commissioner Beese.
Commissioner Beese here. When I was a county commissioner, this state would dictate the CPI and growth for our county, and that comes back into our taxes that we pay. Has the department ever looked into applying that rate annually instead of doing these big jumps so we ain't visiting so much? It just goes up by the state projected CPI for maintaining these parks?
Mr. Beese, to be honest with you, we have not. We have not looked at taking that CPI on an annual basis and applying that to our current rates to have that rate increase annually. That is a strategy or a tactic we could look at doing. The business world, that is a lot of times what they do is they account for the inflationary costs and those rates have changed through time through that CPI, and that it would be something we can definitely look into.
Other questions? Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. Kevin, has there been some consideration on the rate increase on the non-electrical campsites to where, you know, we keep the tents, people that use tents keep that at a really affordable rate, you know, matter of fact, maybe not even raise it up. So we keep that group of people in mind. Again, it would be for a non-electrical campsite, so you can't go take a tent and camp on an electrical campsite at the reduced rate. It's, you know, the non-electrical campsites for tents.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because right now if that campsite falls in the prime or preferred, you are going to have the prime or preferred rate applied to that campsite even if it is just a tent site. So currently that prime site is $21, and if that were to go up to $26 and that prime site does not have electricity, we take $4 off the $26, we're down to $22. So the cheapest rate a camper could get is $22 without electricity under the current structure. Now, we could go in and adjust that rule and say campsites without electricity are $12 statewide or $13 statewide or something to that extent to make sure that cheaper option is out there. But right now, the way our camping fee structure is put in place, it does not work that way. It falls under the umbrella of a prime, preferred, modern, basic. But it's something we could definitely look into and provide, you know, an adjustment to this proposal sheet if that deems warranted to this commission.
Could you take a look at that tonight and then come back in the morning with a revision? And if we have to change a rule, do that in the morning?
Yes, we absolutely could. I mean, it maybe give me a little more detail regarding how that would look. Are we talking statewide? We do not have tent sites at all of our park rec areas and state park areas. Right now we have about 146 tent sites, and 59 of those alone are in CSP. So the remaining, you know, 90 or so are going to be outside of that CSP area. But with those 90, we could definitely have a fee structure that is different than the fee structure for electric sites, you know, that provide the other amenities that are on a camping pad. The remote camping option is definitely something, or a user group out there that is somewhat growing in popularity, but the reason we don't have that is just the demand we've seen for those types of camping amenities isn't there. I mean, there's not a lot of folks that seem to want to do that, but I think that's starting to change a little bit with the millennials getting more involved in the outdoors, throwing tents up, you know, in places we allow them to. That's a great way to get folks engaged and maybe started in the camping world. So absolutely, we can go back and look at that.
Mr. Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp, here. Yeah, Kevin, I guess I'm looking at those 146.
Pardon? All of them.
Yeah, that 146, tent only, non-electrical, across the state, leaving their rate possibly at your, I would like to see what that does for us or does to us at that $12 rate just on those tent sites, if that's possible.
Could we do that tonight and then get back to this in the morning?
Absolutely, and I was just informed that our lowest current rate right now across all state parks is $15. So would that be the price point, or we could go lower than that. There's nothing to say. I mean, that is in rule. We can look at some numbers. We can provide some numbers in the morning, bring this alternative, bring this option on this action sheet, and to make sure there is that cheaper option out there for folks that don't want to utilize electric site and just want to throw up a tent and go camping with a family on a weekend. So absolutely, we can.
And if 15 is our lowest rate, I'm comfortable with that. So we still have that option.
Okay, very good.
Great, let's do that and we'll come back to this in the morning. And then let's move to refuges.